drinking this album. Listen to the booze. I think it would pair well, if only for you. Cause it's album or booze. It's album or booze.
Yeah, I put an SD card in. Hey y'all, it's Sarah. And welcome back to Album or Booze. You know, I haven't eaten all day. I'm starving. Okay, I'm famished. And I figure it's time we ate. I already said my name, but I'm Sarah.
That's good.
Well, guys, I can't believe this is episode 85. Wouldn't mama be proud? I hope she is. I'm Zach.
My mom loves our podcast, hell yeah. By the
Shout
way.
Shout out Jody.
like exactly.
Damn it. Yeah. That was some SNL writing right there. My name's Robbie Kuntz. I play drums and Red Scarves. We're going to be talking about Figure Eight. Trying to think of it. What's a song from the
Stupidity Tries.
Stupidity Tries.
You're doing it pretty well right now.
I'm trying.
I'm just kidding.
We're all friends. That was friends. Perfect. That We're was all perfect. Friends.
I'm Braden Poole. I do vocals and guitar in Red Scarves. And you can catch us in the Lost and Found.
Is that a new venue?
That was good.
Yeah, it's a DIY spot. You got a DM for the ad. Dude.
It's so hard to find. Yeah.
It's That's just full of like yeah. baby it's, shoes.
It's new and it's terrible.
Yeah.
You walk in, caves in.
You walk Sounds in, there's like a bracelet, place. A watch that doesn't work,
uh-huh.
a left flipper.
Someone's key card for their office building.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the good stuff.
That sounds mm-hmm. great. There's that's no kind, cover at the door.
That's kind of a good theme for a venue.
Yeah.
It's just lost
I'm,
shit.
I'm getting out of my 20s, so I think I can leave that be. I'm done with the DIY spot.
The DIY spot.
Yeah.
It's like concrete floor and it hurts to stand on.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Good times.
Well, thank
times.
You guys so yeah. much for coming on. We are super stoked to have two members of the Red Scarves. Thanks Go check us. Them out on Instagram, the Red Scarves. You guys are a Chicago rock band. And when I asked what to call you guys, we're like, rock.
Right?
We're a rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but we're also...
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us a little bit more about the music.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways to slice that genre now that even saying indie rock just kind of makes me... cringe a little bit because that could just mean anything.
It's and I don't like, want to say yeah. alternative rock because then it's just like, what are you, like all-time low or something?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's so many like that's expectations with, yeah.
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 That's true.
See, but like maybe I don't feel like that's putting ourselves in a box like that feels right because we don't put ourselves in a box, I guess. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Like, we like lots of different things.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't think we subscribe to like any sort of like movement or genre. We just kind of do whatever. Yeah.
You're not purist of any creed.
No.
Except for Creed.
Except for Creed. Well, which brings us to my next question. I think off air, we did talk about the idea of a genre called butt rock revival.
Yes.
I think Creed was a founding member of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's OG butt rock, right?
Yeah, that is OG butt rock. That's like...
that's first wave butt rock.
or leather pants revival.
Oh, that's good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I think it's back on the come up for sure. I think the kids... like, not the Gen Zers, but the Gen Alphas are going to really like butt rock
revival. Skibbity toilet butt rock with
yeah,
no crazy.
I have a feeling that, you know, like, this genre stuff or stylistic stuff, I think, is very cyclical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking as a person who grew up on my parents' music, like, I know that there will be kids growing up now who will be like, oh, my dad listened to Nickelback or, you know. Bands that us millennials would be like, you know, that's going to inform probably their taste. And we'll hear music in the future that probably sounds a lot like it.
Hmm. I never thought of it. That generational trauma being the reason for cyclical music.
Did I say trauma?
brings us all together. Yeah. What else would you call OG butt rock?
Yeah.
That's like your dad driving the
time.
Church.
That's
music.
What I call. I call that a great time.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Hanging out
I
with
like
your
Creed.
Boys. Yeah.
I feel like we literally a couple episodes ago were talking about higher by Creed.
We literally
and how were, good yeah. of a song it yeah. is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, speaking of cyclical sounds,
and butt rock.
Tell us a little bit about this album you guys picked and why you picked it.
So I think I can speak for all of the band when I say that Elliott Smith is a big draw for us, and it's always kind of in our playlists and informed a lot of our songwriting, at least for the last, you know, 4 years or so. Yeah, and we just lean into it, and I think Figure Eight is probably one of his most, you know, celebrated and standout albums. So yeah, we figured why not.
Hell
also,
yeah.
You guys said no Wilco, so. We are
very pro Wilco.
Okay, yeah, you didn't say no Wilco, but maybe yeah.
you
lean towards
now.
The Elliott Smith, which we were happy to do. Okay. So. I'm not throwing you guys under the bus.
No, what really made me lean towards Elliott Smith is, like, we do a lot of research for the show. So, like, when we've done Wilco, because we did Wilco and we did, oh, goodness, I'm blanking on it. Why am I?
The other one.
Creed.
I'm blanking on it as well.
It's his first country, alt-country
band. Oh, Uncle Tupelo.
Uncle Tupelo. Thank you.
Yes.
And so I've done a lot of research on Jeff Tweedy. And I was like, well, I don't know much about Elliott Smith. Let me dig into that. And so that was really rewarding.
Totally.
So you picked it because that's like, you guys are feeling it. That's inspiring your writing.
And talking about that album, it's like completely different from any of his other albums, I think. It's the complete standout for me. It's very atypically hopeful and like fun.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
That's not I feel like a way you would describe most of his albums, which
atypically helpful.
Yeah. And I think there is like certain parts of his fan base that really don't like Figure Eight because of that. It is really a departure from his like earlier you know, lo-fi recordings and much more harrowing lyrics. But yeah, I mean, it's such a masterfully produced record. I think it's one of those rock records to me that sounds like it could have come out yesterday. I mean, it's pushing, it's over 20 years old and it sounds amazing. Like fidelity wise, I mean, it was recorded just very, very well.
It was recorded in Hollywood and at
Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I mean, this is like his big budget kind of record, so they really threw the kitchen sink at it. And
beautiful expensive organs,
organs and some orchestra stuff and,
but
we can talk about it, but like the strength is with him has always been
in the songwriting
just very cleverly and completely written songs, you know, and I think it really shines through with like this kind of bigger budget production too.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he's like playing almost every instrument on the whole record, right?
Yeah.
That's super impressive.
He has a band that like he has like session musicians with him.
Okay.
But I think he did like a lot more recording like in his early days, like all in like four tracks and stuff, and he did a lot of stuff. But I think for this one he did a lot of brought some pros, some heavy hitters. Mm. So
he's credited for drums and guitar and piano on a lot of it, which is really, really mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So we got the record out of the way. Now to the second most important part of the show.
Yep.
Tell us about the beer pairing.
So I brought with me a lovely Irish Guinness draft stout, Sláinte. So this is held over from yesterday, which was St. Patrick's Day, and I had to fight a guy at Jewel for him. So
dang,
yeah, it was a showdown.
I'm
in the
glad you won.
Lot. Yeah, well, yeah. You should see the other guy.
Otherwise, we'd have been way thirstier this episode.
Yeah, he was really defeated when I was like, oh no, I'm getting these. So
you're like, it's for a podcast, sir.
You can't. I'm doing something. 55 Guinnesses.
Excellent.
So, yeah, no, I think Elliott would approve. I think, Robbie, you're going to get some Montucky, and I think that would have maybe been the best.
Sure. But they don't sell it everywhere, though. It's not one of those beers yet that, but it should be because
the cold snacks.
The cold snacks.
Yeah,
we've had Montucky on. I would probably put it as my favorite beer. I mean, it's like what a PBR should taste like.
It is really yeah. delightful. It really is a snack.
It's very summery, and I feel like that would have paired well with LA and figure eight, just as a
definitely
in general. I think. Yeah. But I think Guinness is great for any time or any album. So
it's a little dark.
Yeah.
But there's still a bit of levity
there. It's complex.
There.
Yeah.
Complex.
Yeah. Lots
love
going
that.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. A great pairing.
And it was recently St. Patrick's Day in Chicago. So I'm sure everyone has a couple of Guinnesses left over in their fridge.
Speaking of things left over.
Do y'all want some asparagus pasta?
Asparagus pasta.
This isn't leftover, just reused maybe. I've got a game prepared for you guys.
You sure do.
I sure do.
Word. Okay.
This is an oldie but a goodie. Sure. Sarah brought this game on the show once before, twice before?
Twice?
Thrice?
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 A couple at least.
This is a game called Recommend Me a Song. Where in the past we have asked for audience submissions, browsed the internet, browsed Reddit. And so I'll give you a scenario, and the three of you can pitch me a song that you think would be good for this person who's asking for a recommendation. Okay. I would like to make a few changes to it.
Oh, please do.
Before, it was very communal. It was all one goal effort. But I would like to make it competitive.
Ooh, like who wins?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. All
right. I'm game.
So I have the song recommendation Reddit pulled up. I'm going to give you one of the asking for recommendations. I'm going to give you guys 45 seconds on the clock to brainstorm, Google, look at your playlists, to come up with your song.
Zach, this is a good improvement on my original segment. Okay.
And then we'll play a hair of each one.
Yes.
And then my criteria will be a combination of how much it made me laugh and how well it actually fits the prompt.
Oh, gorgeous.
And that is how I will decide the winner of each round.
Awesome.
So this first one's a little tricky. We'll see how we do with it. This person is asking, what song comes to mind with this gif of... Peter Griffin.
Oh, that's easy.
Doing,
that's so easy.
Roller skating.
Yeah,
that's so easy.
So,
well, I think I know the actual song that they play in Family Guy when he's doing that.
So, 45 seconds on the clock.
Can I go first?
I was gonna give everyone time. We'll do them all at once.
Oh yeah. All right. Well,
so,
I'll wait.
So 35 seconds.
I'll wait.
We'll fast forward this. Maybe Cameron can put us in like Mickey Mouse quick voices.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So the audience isn't listening for 45 seconds. All right, we will start from right to left. Sarah.
Great. I have a playlist called Songs I Would Lip Sync for My Life to. And it's a playlist for if I ever did drag or was on RuPaul's Drag Race. songs that I would, include in a number as a drag queen. For this gif in particular, I think the song Sneaker Night / Single Version by Vanessa Hudgens would be a really great option. May I please play a little bit of
please.
It for you?
Yes.
And to remind the listener, this is Peter Griffin dancing like a disco on rollerblades.
He's looking, dare I say, like he's serving.
Peter Griffin serving, yeah.
Your Honor. Yeah. Okay.
Your Honor.
I'm going to try.
Let the record show, my client was serving the night. These murders were happening.
Your Honor, he was giving wig tea, Mama Boots. Let me play a little bit
Your
of
Honor,
this.
No cap.
Yeah, I'm dancing like Peter Griffin right now.
This is the pre-chorus. Give it a little bit. This is a great fucking song, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel that energy?
All right. Yeah. Great contender. Great submission.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the single version, right?
The album, that is the single version.
I heard the album version is much more experimental. And
I heard it was a little more explicit, too.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're not ready for that.
Crazy.
For Peter Griffin dancing on roller skates, I have song's name is A Roller Skating Jam Named Saturdays by De La Soul. From the album De La Soul Is Dead.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Yes. Fuck.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah. And this song's about roller skating.
I know. Yeah,
yeah that's.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole song is like incredible. Yeah. Great sampling, too. They're fucking geniuses.
Sorry,
Robbie's going a little ahead with that one.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, oh, it's fine. I respect it. I respect it.
All right, how are you feeling, Braden?
All right, with the Peter Griffin doing the roller skating, I think I'm going to... There's no other song that really encapsulates that moment, I think, better than the Napoleon Dynamite dance music, which I think is called Canned Heat.
By Jamiroquai? Yeah.
Yes, I do believe.
I fucking love this song.
And I will accept the award.
We got to get into it a little
bit. Yeah.
She's groovy.
Great submissions, everybody.
Do you think Jamiroquai has like a cabinet full of the big hats that he wears? Like, do you think he has multiple?
Sad if he didn't,
I don't know.
I feel like, do you think he wakes up every morning and he strolls his beautiful estate of a house he bought with all the money he made from music, and he looks at all his big hats and
he, like,
decides which one to wear each morning?
The way you would. Water plants. Yeah.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that process.
Yeah.
Sounds really tranquil.
Yeah. All right. I think Braden wins for both making me laugh and being the best fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well
Thank
done.
You.
Valid. That was a tough round.
Yeah, tough.
I didn't know y'all came to play like
all
that.
Right. All right, so here's a really good one. Another visual one. This cat's name is Blood, B-U-L-D. What is Blood listening to?
B-U-L-D? Bold?
Blood?
B-L-U-D.
What's Blood listening to?
B-L-U-D.
What's Blood listening to?
This is a scary-looking cat with some makeup on.
It kind of looks like Trixie Mattel makeup. Not to make this like a drag episode, but she's kind of painted.
45 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
We'll start on the left side of the room.
All right, I'm going to go with Blood is listening to Two of Hearts by Stacey Q. That is Blood's vibe.
It's a good song.
I can see that, yeah.
I need to add this to my drag playlist, actually.
I can see it.
It'd be so good.
Song made for a bad looking cat.
Yeah. Okay, that's very good.
Robbie.
My pick is Wonderful Baby by Don McLean.
Ooh. Sure didn't mean American Pie?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This song just cracks me
Wonderful
up.
Wonderful Baby.
Oh, I like the direction you went here. Because it is a cute little cat still.
Up where the girls fly on ribbons and bows.
Yeah, she did
almost
look
like
a bit
John
pensive.
Denver.
I know.
Yeah.
And it develops into this like large orchestral thing that's like so just it makes me crack a smile every time I listen to it.
Yeah. Don trying to write Sandman.
Yeah, and that's what it reminds me of. It. Please, Mr. Sandman.
This cat is like poured itself a glass of wine.
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
having a night to appreciate itself.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
She's drawing a bath.
All right, very good submission. Hold on. All right. How are you feeling, Sarah?
I think I'm gonna kind of marry these energies here, because I do think this cat is a bit of a diva, but with a sensitive side.
Okay.
So for that reason, I'm gonna have Blood listen to Moment 4, the number 4, Life by Nicki Minaj and Drake.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Can you pull up that cat, please? And let's just have a moment with her.
Oh, wow.
Blood.
You captured the
What's
feeling
blood?
In her eyes perfectly.
Yeah.
I fly with the stars
beauty mark.
In the sky.
Yeah.
I am no longer trying to survive.
Oh.
I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire.
She's
it's
a bad
empire. And yes, I call the shots.
Yeah.
I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king.
Well done.
Yeah.
This is tough. I think I'm going to have to go... with Robbie. Even though Sarah's fit better, Robbie's made me laugh because he was creative.
That's so valid.
I'm not going for
Do your guests always win these games?
No.
Okay, yeah, I know.
No. I was like, you guys are just trying.
Yeah, sometimes we school them.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, that makes me feel all dandy.
Okay, here's a good one. To torture your enemy, what song are you forcing them to listen to on repeat? And attached is a meme of Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, like, crying when Ben dies. And he's going, please make it stop.
Please.
Wait, torture your enemy?
Yeah.
Make them jeez.
Sarah, I think you're up.
Okay, so I think a song that, if repeated long enough, like, would maybe make someone cry and shit themselves is Temporary Secretary. Because it's just really intense.
Oh my
god. It's really intense for me.
Oh, you couldn't torture me with that song. That's that's one
on,
of his
on
best.
Repeat. So.
On repeat.
So I think like 30 times in.
I mean, it wouldn't be the greatest, but this is far from his worst song.
I'm not saying it's the worst. Yeah. I'm saying 30 times.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. It could be a lot.
Let's find out right now.
Yeah, how long do you have? I don't have to be in the office till 9 a.m.
Well,
can you find for me someone strong and sweet?
Is this the whole song or does it change?
Oh, the chorus starts to...
Temporary secretary.
I think at the right volume, a good pick.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so loud.
Yeah.
It's so loud.
All right, Robbie, what you got?
This band just annoys the hell out of me. And I can't speak for someone else. I don't know if who I'm torturing. I was like, oh, maybe I'd pick the Shags, but maybe they're a sick freak who likes the Shags, you know? So I'm going to self-insert and put myself into what would be torture for me.
Yeah.
And I can't stand Muse.
Oh,
yeah. It's been kind of a joke.
that's a deep joke.
I really thought about this, and the song Drones.
Oh yeah,
Muse. I just think they're the worst.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They just represent like everything that I hate.
This
about,
is not their like, hottest track to.
No.
No. Yeah.
This Super would be... Massive Black Hole goes hard. I'll stand on that.
No, and that's the thing. It's like I like a few of their Starlight. Yeah. I think is a pretty good song. Like, but it's
a Kyrie.
They're just trying to be Queen and Radiohead.
Yeah.
And like, it's like the most pretentious music that exists. You know, like it's trying really hard to like. Say something meaningful. It's just...
I would not know this is Muse just by hearing this, to be completely honest.
I think it picks up a little. This is the album where there's like a lot of like military talk. There's always like a guy like, you hear that, Sergeant?
Just like, look at the album art. Like, this is so dumb. This is like what a 14-year-old would think is cool.
It's like, very like fine art major.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like their audience is just like kids who discover YouTube for the first time. Like, it's their market, you know?
Does it turn into a real song at all?
Or is it just kind of Gregorian?
I could probably tell it was used by the compression on the voices.
Oh my god, that too. Yeah. There's a running joke with about there's this, speaking of YouTube, it's a YouTube video called Muse Shreds at I think it's at Wembley Stadium. It's like the footage of
it's
them.
It's all real.
It's all real of them playing at Wembley Stadium and the crowd's like crazy, but the audio is remixed by someone that it'll only like whenever the camera's on them, that's the only instrument. It's really hard to explain, but like it makes them sound
like
really
Beach
bad.
Boy,
yeah. And it makes it sound like the worst performance ever. And they're just like all the chords are wrong and like the drum, like the way they synced everything up, it just looks like it's a total mess, like on stage.
Yeah.
I felt a sense of justice after seeing that.
Yeah. Very cool.
I love that for you. Well,
Brayden.
Who were you torturing?
Okay, I get tortured every time I hear this, so this is what I would do unto my enemies. What's Up by Four Non Blondes.
No! That's on my track playlist!
I fucking hate that song. It can fucking go die.
I kind of like that song, though.
You put that on our
I can be tortured
playlist.
By this one. That'd be
that's
fine.
That's fine. Go for it. If you're that masochistic, then that's fine.
Baby, lock me down. Yeah.
What part does it for you? The chorus?
The whole thing.
Oh, my God, do I pray? Like, she does have... Yeah. She does kind of do it.
And I hate how, like... I hate how liked it is. Also,
it's
you guys
the
can all like
video.
What you like.
Yes,
that's valid.
That's
that one.
You guys are valid,
video.
But I hate it. So
I'm just gonna let it play for a while, just for you.
Yeah, I'll probably take off my cans then. You just tell me when it's over.
Yeah,
I'll put my headset back.
Do you really pick the one? You picked the one he hated the most.
I'm just checking my email right now.
Wait! Oh, fuck. I have an amendment. Can I amend mine?
Well, can we hear the chorus first?
Yes.
Oh, we're not done yet? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, plug me in for this. Yeah.
You want mine? Also, the dreadlocks, just like,
here we go.
Just looking at that video, just like, I can smell patchouli. Just like, I said, hey,
a good song. I do see you, it could be torturous, you know, 40 hours in.
Yeah.
Please, may I make an amendment to my original submission?
So because I gave everyone the same 45 seconds, we can still hear it,
okay.
But I don't think it'll be eligible for the point.
That's fine. I just want to talk about a song I hate. I never get to be a hater.
Dish. Yeah.
I never get to be a hater on this podcast. But I fucking hate this song. Cruise by Florida Georgia Line.
Oh,
I hate that fucking song.
You're going to have to play it for me.
Honestly, I should have picked that too. That might be my least favorite song of all time.
I think it's also my least favorite song.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I need to get educated.
I have like a visceral reaction to this song that like I can... This is one of the few songs you can smell. Like,
why don't you guys like this one?
I hate this fucking song.
It's so that type of radio country.
It smells like Bush Light.
It smells like sweat. It smells like Bush Light, sweat,
and dip.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. This song reminds me of when I was in high school and I would drive my Honda Accord and I would park it in the school lot. And one time I came out and it was really cold outside. It was like January or something. And someone had taken their dip out of their mouth and smacked their wad on the back of my Honda Accord windshield.
Ooh,
for no reason.
Why would they do such a thing?
I don't know.
Do you have any bumper stickers?
No.
Maybe you wouldn't have liked?
No. Very neutral Honda Accord. Silver.
Yeah.
But I came out and there was dip, and that makes me think of this song.
That song.
Yeah.
Robbie, tell me your pick again.
Literally any song by Muse.
Oh, Muse, that's right.
Like,
just the band in general.
Just the band in general. Yeah. But I guess if I had to do it over.
Do you want
to
team up?
I would have, yeah.
What the hell?
We're going to overthrow this.
Honestly, Sarah, I think your first pick won anyways.
Yeah.
With temporary secretary?
Yeah.
Do you also not like that song?
I just think the repetitive, like, 8-bit, like, whatever that, would do it for me.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And also, it was Paul McCartney, right?
Yes.
And it made me think of our bit Puss McCussy from that one episode.
Puss McCussy.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been a good one, too.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll follow you.
Yeah.
1 point for everybody. What a serendipitous.
Do we want to do a tiebreaker, or we just want to keep it copacetic?
I think we got to move. We'll have to come back next year.
Cliffhanger!
Because we got to keep moving.
We'll keep it schmoving.
Well, thank you guys for playing Recommend Me a Song.
That was good.
That was fun. I like the changes you made.
Thanks. You guys want to take a fiver?
Sure.
And we're back.
And we're back. This guy's done radio. He
classic.
Kid, you got a future in this business.
Yeah. That was great. A great way to bring us back in. We talked a little bit about the album as a whole. Anything else we want to say before we dig deep into it? It's the fifth studio record.
I want to say something really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were saying how He moved to like Los Angeles right before this and during the writing and recording, and I just feel like it's very summery, very Los Angeles hazy kind of album.
Uh-huh. There's a song about LA.
Yeah, and there's a song called LA. Yeah. So there's that too. But and he had just bounced around. He started out in Portland in his music career, and I feel like that was everything he was running in. You know, that area was very just like Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And then he moved to New York for XO. It was very, you know, twinkly pianos and very kind of winter in New York. So it's just cool to see like how regions and living in different spaces can like really influence your songwriting and just your...
That's so cool that there's a geographical reason for the sounds we're hearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Places can influence art.
And yeah.
It's cool.
That's super cool. Little vitamin D and like had a green juice.
Yeah. Like, like Vincent Van Gogh. It's just like, you know, he moved to the South of France because he was tired of all the gray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like when we talked about St. Vincent, she wrote that record in New York in like a fancy studio. So I think the cities do have a big impact.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
That's what does cool. Chicago sound like? What does Chicago do to your guys' music?
I don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, is there a Chicago sound? I mean, if there is such a thing, if we're talking like indie rock, I can't speak for another genre, but like anything that kind of remotely sounds like either Twin Peaks or Wilco, I think is going to be like, oh, this is Chicago rock or whatever.
Yeah.
I notice something about Chicago music whenever I see like another band from another big city. Like whenever I see Nashville bands in the city, I just hear chops the whole time.
Yeah. Because it's extremely competitive in Nashville. It's like a bunch of people trying to prove that I deserve to be here.
Yeah. You know? And they've got to really earn their keep. Yeah. Or not earn their keep, but maybe, you know, earn their. Whereas Chicago, I really feel like I'm feeling the song. When I see local Chicago bands, like
and
really,
it's a bunch of buddies,
and
pretty close group.
Yeah, to go on this tangent, like if there is any regional thing about Chicago, and I've heard this from other people, is that there is a very strong sense of community in Chicago, and I think that's maybe the defining feature of it. Whereas places like again, like LA is like. Cutthroat, everyone's moving there start their pop careers, and like I you know friends of mine have done that
I'm going next week.
Oh, you're going. Yeah, man. Yeah,
community.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging out. And then New York is like maybe in that way, or I don't know, I can't speak to that, but like I do know that Chicago has this very very strong sense of community, and like you know, high tide raises all ships, and like we're all kind of like in this together, and we're very supportive, and it's nice. It feels very, I feel at home here.
Is that because people in the Midwest are friendly? Is that what it's done?
I don't know. Is that
that's got to be part of it?
Midwestern, I feel like Midwestern politeness.
We're fake nice.
All the bands, all the bands say "ope" to each other whenever they speak.
Good set.
Yeah, like Chicago's. I'm from Wisconsin originally, and Chicago's like polite. Yeah. But, like, quick about it. Like, Chicago's not going to go out of your way to be like, oh, what'd you order on the menu? Like, no.
Yeah. There's a difference between being nice and being kind.
Yes.
And I think Chicagoans are more kind.
Yes.
In that, like, you don't have to be nice to be kind.
Precisely.
Yeah. So I think that's another like, facet of the Chicago community that I think is, like, comes through the music very much so.
It's pretty kick-ass. Yeah.
Well, speaking of not being nice or kind, this first song, Son of Sam, is plausibly, I read a couple different things about a serial killer.
Saw David Berkowitz. That as well.
Yeah.
David Berkowitz.
The Son of Sam.
I found in an MTV interview, and the interview was so old on the MTV website, like none of the JPEGs worked. Like it was still on MTV.com, but like where he was like, I don't know what it's about. Could be about anything. Could be about Uncle Sam. Could be about your friend Sam. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if singer-songwriters are always so honest in their interviews. If they always want to tell what every song is about right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sick of that. I'm so all right. I'm so sick of the I need to explain to my audience what this is about. Or writing songs where, like, this has to be about something. Sure. Like they have to get, like it's a puzzle that people need to solve.
Yeah.
Rather than like, this is just art that I'm making, that there is no goal or hidden message behind it. You know, John Lennon is just wanted to be a walrus. Like there's nothing more to it. Like, right. You know,
yeah.
I think it's kind of poisoned people's heads into, I've seen bands now who like at length talk about the songs that they're about to play and they explain everything the song's about. And it drives me nuts. Like,
yeah.
It's like, why would you play that video game for me? Like, I want to, you know, figure out what it's about.
Yeah. And this whole album is about like just doing things for the sake of doing things. Yeah. And there's no end. There's no beginning. There is just doing it for the sake of doing it. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what Elliot first like saw when he was like writing this album.
Totally.
Just, like, figure skater doing a figure eight just over and over for no reason other than to just do it as perfectly as they could, but strive for perfection and
That's
like,
a good point.
Like they would still be doing this even if no one was around. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Like that's the idea. Like
I feel like that ties really into like the genius.com of it all, where
that's people... also I'm like I'm so sick
of this, one day
silly so funny stuff on this
I've learned to take it at exactly face value nothing more because I was looking at like specifically like this album was one where I started to kind of go okay buddy, because there would be people annotating lyrics and being like, this is a parallel to this other song. So perhaps like in Elliot Smith cinematic universe of it, like they're trying to like, I don't know, like 21 Pilots this shit where it's like there's this character and he goes through all this lore. And
he
it's
recycled
like,
so much though.
He did.
Lyrics, melodies.
It's not him being witty, it's him being a little lazy.
or just pragmatic.
Lazy is the wrong word. Pragmatic is
I mean, I'm lazy, you know. I'll recycle some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's like if you're a great artist and you put out as much art as he did when he was alive. Like, if you think about it, like his first solo record was 95.
94. Roman Candle.
And he put out a record every year until 2000.
Before that, he had high school projects.
I know. He was prolific. And that was, and there
was
a box sets of stuff that was unreleased, like the New Moon stuff too.
Wow.
You know, he was prolific as, you know, definition of him. So, you know, it makes sense that he's one of those people to be like, I'm a craftsman. I need to complete this. This is an easier way to have me do that. And, you know, I can see it from that angle. That makes sense to me. I don't think that's like a cop out or anything.
Yeah. No.
He had a song with like one of his like high school projects. It was like I forget what the group was called. It's like Something Crows. And it was like, just a straight rip, or he ripped himself off for Either Or, I think.
Yeah.
One of those songs.
Yeah.
But so he reused a lot.
Sometimes the line's so nice, you got to say it twice. You know,
Wow. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Gorgeous. You should reuse that.
Sometimes the line's so nice, you got to say it four times.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the band Gautier ripped off song number two, somebody that I used to know?
I wonder. Because it is.
Speaking of
I don't know
it
how
twice.
You can use that phrase in another context besides
it's a very
breakup.
Sad
it is.
I can see it
that's possible
Beautiful acoustic guitar line. We didn't play the last song. Should we play a little of this one?
Sure. Get a little bit of that guitar.
I love the track just picking.
Yeah, that guy Travis really did something special.
Yeah, seriously.
We just pop it to 115.2, where he does like a double. He does a lead guitar over his.
Yeah.
No one does those folky kind of country endings like Elliot Smith, except for maybe a Big Star. Which is where he got it from.
Talking about lifting. But like, Big Star is a very cool band to be like, if you're lifting from that band, like they have so much great music.
You can do
too.
No wrong.
Yeah, totally.
I love that
song. That's a wonderful song. And he had a really, he was a great guitar player. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's underrated. Something, you know, his songwriting is like what draws, you know, fans to him. But like his guitar playing, I thought, like he could shred. Like he came up with some really memorable guitar. Like we were just singing that guitar line now. It's like very memorable. It's not like grabs your attention. It kind of uses the same melody, the main one that he sings. It's wonderful.
It like is really like understated.
Yeah.
But then when you like,
it's subtle, but it's
pay
like
pay a little more attention. You're like, it'll work. Like,
He's like playing like way below his capacity.
Totally.
But in a way that makes it so tasteful.
Yeah.
It's a good song for like being on a train, I think.
Mm.
Being on a train, perhaps it's drizzling outside. Perhaps you're leaving a place and going back to a place where you used
to be. Yeah, I used to listen to that all the time, like going from my house, like on the L to like my downtown job.
Stunning.
Yeah, it was the move.
Yeah. Do you ever look out of the window and pretend you're in like a music video or something, or like a montage?
I look
of
out
sorts?
The window and I pretend that I'm running across the rooftops. That's
That.
As you should.
Oh, I like that.
Like Godfather 2.
Wait, you guys don't do that?
No, I really like that. I don't think I've heard that from someone
that was
before,
a thing on the internet,
really
right?
Lovely.
Or everyone.
No, I actually used to do that as a kid.
Same when they're like jumping from like street light to
you imagine that's
universal
human boy experience.
Tablets weren't a thing.
It must be a boy thing.
That's so funny. Also filling like spaces up, like I'd go to church and be like, what would it be like if this entire room was filled with water?
That's a good one.
That was my like, I just like kind of stare up and be like, oh, I have to stand up now.
Oh, and I have to sit back down. Yeah, oh.
I'm still getting over Ope consent. Consent,
Rabbi. Shalom.
Well, speaking of filling things up, I'm really not doing good tonight.
Oh, keep it going.
It's all
no, you're fine.
Good.
Which one should we talk about?
Track number six.
Yeah, we're going
junk
chronological.
Bond Trader.
Junk Bond Trader.
I think is about record labels filling up their pockets. Mm-hmm.
So that makes more sense than what I pictured in my mind's eye when I first read this song title, because I realized in hindsight it could be like a junk bond, like a bad stock or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I saw the word junk and I was like a junkyard. So it's just like picturing a guy going around trying to sell like old mufflers. And then I was like listening to the song like through that lens and I was like, that doesn't make much sense. So that's just behind that curtain. But the label comparison is probably much more apropos in this instance.
Yeah, I can see it like just him like coming to LA and it's just like you have to be a product now and trying to fit into a box and
you've got
to
be marketable.
He doesn't need that and I could definitely see that.
Rest in peace.
And he was having a lot of issues later in life with Columbia.
Yeah.
Records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think he actually got, I think, pretty paranoid about it at one point. But
he was like, there are people from the record label that are like following me around. Which honestly, like,
wow.
I know he was probably on some pretty intense drugs
at that point.
At that point. But that does not sound so far-fetched. Like, do you like, if you don't think that like record labels don't have guys like that, then
no,
like,
because that's their,
of course, like,
that's,
yeah,
that's their money,
their handler or fixers or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder
handlers.
Yeah,
I wonder if they invest totally, $10 million into your record, like they.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
make sure you're
protect their investment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild to think about.
I know.
I think it would have been like he would have absolutely loathed if he was working with a major label today, like,
oh my god,
someone come
Elliot
to him
media,
and be
Smith
like,
on social media,
we need a viral, we need a viral TikTok chorus.
Oh my god,
he would have been like, actually, no, thank you, and also, please go die, baby. Like, I'm not gonna write you a viral TikTok chorus,
he strikes me as someone who would just hate the concept of social media,
absolutely,
so much.
Well, so he started Heatmeister as a punk band.
Heatmiser.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so I was reading about, like, you know, it was like the 90s, right? There's this kind of like this fear of selling out or like becoming too mainstream.
Totally.
That I'm sure kept with him into his solo career stuff.
Yeah.
Which is dumb, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's such a, or I don't know. I mean, it's different now because it's, I think, probably harder to make money off of music too. So.
Yeah.
You know, like
now it's like if you're making a living, like, yeah. The job, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're making a living off of music, like, my hat's off to you. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to disrespect that. Like, I don't care if you make weird, dumb TikToks or whatever. Yeah. You know?
Did I just write the song of the summer? Yeah. No shade.
I can see him with like a broccoli haircut with like a long, dangly earring.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
With, like, a nice, like, stainless steel chain.
Oh, goodness.
But I do like that he pit weird chord changes and some weird sounds in this one. There's like a weird bell chain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think, I don't know. Tell me what you guys think. Like, he's like trying not to make this one too commercially acceptable, right?
Yeah. Could have been like a stick it to the stick it to the company.
Which is like makes good sense for the content of it. Let's hear, I think there's the bell chain. It's at 220.
Heard, Jeff.
Hear that orchestra behind him too. That's like the budget there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that bong.
Yeah.
And then in the bridge he talks about it being a holiday. Happy holiday.
He's sick savior or whatever.
Sad sick savior.
Yeah. Sad sick savior. Yeah. JC.
Yeah. He talks about like a Christian holiday, I think, in like the bridge. So that would title. Yeah.
Whoa.
And that ending is so haunting. The better sell it while you can is like threatening. And it's like the
perhaps
end is nigh.
Like a record executive.
I know. Yeah, better sell me. And I think in a way he's almost putting himself on that same level of like, I have to sell, like I'm almost doing their job too, where I have to make commercial music, so I'm like, I have to sell this while I can, and like, you know, is probably anxiety over that.
I'm sure, like, as much as you don't want to like make that TikTok that's like, did I just write the song of the summer, there is like this anxiety when you like regularly make and put stuff out into the world of like, what is my shelf life,
right? Who knows what's gonna happen with like Instagram or TikTok, like, you know, like if the TikTok ban thing or whatever. I mean, is that going to happen? I don't know. But
whatever.
It proves that like all of that stuff is ready to go at a moment's like notice. And like, is that worth, you know, doing? And like, is that the way you want to like sell yourself? It's also, what's the word? Transient.
Oh, yeah. Ephemeral, perhaps.
Yeah. That's a good word. Yeah.
I need to go get my thesaurus. Yeah.
Can you grab mine too? Yeah.
That's the one synonym I know. Whipped it out. I guess I can't say ephemeral for the rest of this episode.
All the adjectives I'll use from now on will be stuff like cool and good.
And good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real layman.
Yeah.
our audience only wants to hear the most basic words.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Everything reminds me of her.
Ooh, yeah.
This one hits hard.
Is a song.
Mm-hmm. That's
very that.
Yeah. Keeping it really basic for our audience here. Yeah. There's words.
Uh-huh. There
words.
There's melody.
And there's melody.
And there's melody.
You can listen to it.
You can listen to it.
Or you could skip it.
Or you could skip it.
I wouldn't. Personally.
No.
I'd listen to this entire album as, as a whole, but.
I think we've kept that language pretty simple.
Yeah.
Guys, do you get it?
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, guys, like and subscribe. Do you understand? Please. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Do you like us yet? Please.
Guys,
please.
Are you having fun? Be honest.
Please. Please.
Guys.
Are we having fun? Please.
But we can't skip the next one, though.
No.
We do.
I
want to start it off. I remember when I was. I kind of poo-pooed Elliott Smith at one time in my early years when I was you know, illiterate and dumb and
hey, that's valid. Anything.
Illiterate.
And
boy cannot but then read I, or I, write.
You know, yeah. You know, I saw the light, and then yeah. I remember we were I just couldn't like say anything other than Elliot at one point, and I was trying to get you know, everyone else to listen to it at the same mm-hmm. time and just to talk to people and like you know like mm-hmm. minds, and Robbie did not really subscribe at first, and then I think Ryan showed him everything means nothing to me.
And it's when you say you kind of poo-pooed Elliot Smith, because I had this perception that he was what's the banana pancakes guy, Jack Johnson.
Oh my god,
that's
hilarious.
I'm not joking.
He's kind of like Jason Mraz.
Yeah, like
that's awesome.
That's what I thought. Like I thought it was really whiny. Like boring music. I mean, and that I had not listened to a single second of Elliot Smith. So like
we were young.
I mean, obviously the name is like thrown around so much in like indie music world because he's just like everywhere. But yeah, you were trying to get me to listen to Elliot, and I was like, I'm good. Like I don't need that. And Ryan Donlan, who was on the show in Red Scarves, he showed me Everything Means Nothing to Me, and I was like,
the drum hit.
Well, and it really was that drum hit. I'm like, oh, this is like, I feel like this was made for me. Like this is like someone was like trying to make a record just that I would want to listen to.
Those slapback drums, and then get anyone.
Literally, if it was from that point on, it like more and more and more. I just like delved deeper into Elliot Smith, and but yeah, so that this song. I mean, it still is like. What an incredible, it reminds me of like an art song. We went to music school and like studied classical music. And, for someone who he was not trained classically, his use of like harmony is like, so like German art song from like the 19th century. Yeah, I know. Like it's so interesting and, really precise and like very composed. Like, I mean, it's not just some guy chugging four chords. Like this is like a real song that's like being written with like very dissonant chords and what a really, really cool song.
I picked up the song and found my picture in the paper.
Yeah. And the way the lyrics break over each line to like the songbird on his shoulder keeps singing over everything. And like the line preceding that is like broken up in such an interesting rhythmic way that like it just held my attention like perfectly, and you know it's
constantly moving too.
Yeah, so it's so restless. Yeah, like there's no like resolution in the song, and the chorus is so it's in this really weird like key center too that's like he uses on a couple other songs it just never resolves like the entire song. It's what a really cool song. We should listen to it now.
Yeah, where would you like to listen to
the whole song?
It's
do you wanna, I think the 120 is whenever it gets big with the drums.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, cool. let's do that.
And the violins at the end too. They're just like salt in the wound. It's just like, oh my.
Yeah, there's some songs we wish we could just like play the whole song, but like copyright.
No,
and stuff.
Right. So, yeah, like, they'll come get us.
I don't hear it, but I feel it. I feel a little Pink Floyd in this one.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, just kind of like that.
It's a little like proggy.
Yeah.
I think this one like totally encapsulates this entire album, though. If, like,
yeah.
Like one song on this album that would have to speak for like the entire album and why it was written is like this song.
Yeah.
Just because everything means nothing to me And it's just like repeated over and over, figure eight, figure eight, figure eight. Just
17 like, times to be exact. 17 I counted. Times. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
kind of thing. This, like you say the same word over and over, and then it means nothing.
Yeah. Or there's this like, I'm going to like show my ass if I'm wrong here, but there's this like rule or like guideline in improv where it's like you do the thing until it starts to become like a real like truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. Like sort of this repetition of this kind of bleak sentiment, but also like kind of hopeful sentiment.
Yeah. It's like a surrender.
Yeah. To,
like a release. And Elliot talks about that. He's like, I don't know why people think that I have this like proclivity of like writing sad music. Like I think the music that I write is like pretty happy actually, like it, or it's like in a way like it's
melancholy
or...
sure.
melancholy yeah, but like it's not like sad sack whatever, like there is a so much beauty and harmony and yeah, he's like probably discussing some like heavy stuff, but in a way that's like him kind of like figuring something out, and I think that's like a generally positive thing. So
totally, you know. Yeah.
It's well, great song. Great
it's
song.
Really good.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
This one, I was like, wait, she's kind of a showstopper. Yeah. I came into this.
It's like the big song on the album.
Literally. Yeah. I came into this completely green. Yeah. I have maybe heard Elliot Smith in like the background of an episode of Girls or like something like that. Like completely green.
The soundtrack to Good Will Hunting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
Yes.
Yeah. So I came into this like super, super fresh. And this was the first one where I was like, okay, I'm buying what he's selling.
Yeah. This is the one that piqued my interest too. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. Oh.
Did anyone else, not you two probably, but Sarah, whenever you saw this next track, did you go LA?
LA.
Did you do that?
Come
or
on,
not?
It's I LA.
What?
That's a
did it
like a valley
what,
girl.
Were you like at
LA.
Home
LA.
Alone, and you're just like
oh, yeah.
LA.
Like that's just how like whatever I say LA. The word LA in my head now, it just is in that voice for some god awful reason.
I did it, but that's really cool, and I'm really glad that you did do that because I think that's darling. No, I didn't.
My name's L.A. Smith.
My name's Elliot Smith. Do you want to go to Erewhon?
What do you guys think about naming songs after the city you wrote it in? Or like having the city be a prominent lyric in it?
I think this one is pretty apt.
This one does it too. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never done it personally. Then again, I haven't written that many songs. So. Yeah.
There's no rules.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't have an opinion about it either. I thought
Anarchy baby.
Yeah. Write a song with
it. I like Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah.
Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I was about to say like I like it if it's a good song.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, that's subjective.
That's
but
true, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you like write a bad song about Chicago, like I probably don't like that song.
You know who you should ask that question to?
Who's that?
Matt Farley.
That man only writes good songs.
Yeah. Specifically about cities and towns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we play the intro real fast?
Yeah, just because
this is another baller guitar lick.
It's
a rocker.
The muted scratches on the guitar.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And this is like the first electric guitar we get, right? Or like that's in your
like
face,
prominent. Like
yeah.
And this is pretty rockin' for Elliot too.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like more borrowing from like Heat Miser.
Yeah, yeah. Another so fat. Many, and all the guitar lines are like crazy, and all the chords don't repeat. Like they're all different chords or voicings. Yeah.
Ooh, can we talk about his harmonies?
Oh, man. Can we talk about his harmonies?
Yeah. So good.
They're so good.
Yeah. And it's just like, he's so influenced by the Beatles and mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. That's the majority of
uh-huh.
it.
Mm-hmm. But. I watched not a live stream, mind you, a webcast.
Vintage!
I know.
Wait. Of one of his sets from the 90s.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they called them then. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was like a single camera and it was never in focus. Yeah. It would just like zoom in a little on them and zoom out. But it was great. It was super entertaining.
Why is every video of Elliot Smith on the internet from like 17 years ago and like 2 pixels? Like,
I know. I couldn't find
it. It's so sad because like so many other artists have like really well restored, like, I don't know what to call it.
Have you have you seen the one on YouTube, the where he does the New York City Hall where he's wearing the blue shirt?
Yeah.
And then there's a digitally restored one. Version.
But you know the one, is it the one where he's singing between the bars and on in the bathroom?
Oh, yeah, those are
gnarly.
Awful.
Those are gnarly.
Yeah. Oh, and no.
But it's where's a great performance. Yeah, it's like such a wonderful performance. But like, no one wants to give him, you know, give him some pixels, please.
Maybe
yeah.
it's like a vampire thing. Like how you can't like see yourself in a mirror. Maybe he was like,
he can only be he's an alien. He can only be captured kind of fuzzy.
By digital cameras.
I don't like this implication.
I'm just waiting for next year when they like bring you know, Elliot Smith back to life and he's doing his like
his hologram.
His hologram tour.
Oh, just like they did ABBA.
His Vegas residency.
But it's still fuzzy. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
It's still 2 pixels.
So lifelike. But so the bass player is doing the backups. And they were great. They were good. But they just still weren't Elliot.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
he didn't really match the timbres. I know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it irks me every time. I think it's like one of those like, he's like playing in Japan, I think, on one of those.
Oh, at the Fuji Rock?
Yeah, the Fuji Rock
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
And he's a little too loud in the mix because it's like a webcast from 1998.
Yeah, the timbre is just, they do not,
they
don't fit. So it sounds very out of tune.
I would love to take a bathroom break.
Go piss, girl.
Thanks, girl.
I found it. The next track.
What did you? Oh my gosh.
Where was it? It was in the Lost and Found.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, shit.
In parentheses, Honky Bach.
Oh, Bach. I, with my full chest earlier, said Honky Beach. And that's not. What's written
that's
here?
Honky that's pretty close.
I love reading and also words.
And then also The Roost. Do you guys know the reason for the three names of the song?
I'm sure the Honky Bach is in relation to his, you know, the keyboard playing.
Yeah. Yes.
He's on this kind of like very twinkly, very kind of very honky tonk kind of upright piano. And I believe he's playing in Abbey Road Studios.
Yeah.
So, I think that one would make sense. The Roost, I have no idea. I'd have to look.
That's one of the soundscape things that they did. It's like just a bunch of backward guitar. Mm. Like,
yeah, there's like a secret song at the end of this song, which is kind of funny to put in the middle of the record.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
The tenor or whatever.
Oh, I see. So you think Honky Bach is an alternative name to The Lost and Found, and The Roost is the name of the interlude.
Yeah, yes.
That's the most plausible situation, I think.
Yeah. Because I if that's the case, which it seems very plausible... Spoilers, there's the song about the gondola man, or it's called the gondola man.
Yeah.
At the end where it gets very like Venetian.
The mandolin.
Yeah. I was into this one. I liked kind of the jangly bar song vibe. Mm-hmm. I like a track like that. So I was just like hanging out.
Yeah.
I would say, I think people would describe this track as jaunty.
Oh,
I would jaunty. Think it's kind of like a.
It's sad, but jaunty.
I'm trying to do like kind of like almost like a Paul McCartney kind of.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Song.
Yeah. The Don't Go Home Angelina part is like, that's so Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. There are piano parts that give me Piano Man vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not in a cheesy way.
No, in a fun way.
Not in like a piano bar way.
Mm hmm.
But, like, maybe a little bit. But, like, what if that's not a bad thing to be in a piano bar?
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. No.
What if it's, like, a really cool underground piano bar?
I wasn't dissing piano bars.
Where people smoke cigarettes.
Oh, if they're smoking cigarettes, I'm there.
And they
there's no cigarettes? Sorry, I can't hang.
Yeah. They are straight whiskey neats.
Sucking up.
That's the name. The bar we named earlier called The Lost and Found is now a piano bar.
Yes!
But it's DIY, so you can smoke cigarettes there.
The Lost and
Found.
Yes!
Nice.
You just
That would be an awesome name for a bar. The Lost and Found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That'd be pretty sick. Mm. TM.
TM. Did we have that conversation on air earlier?
I don't remember.
No.
Oh, well. I say too much into this microphone. It's like...
Do we want to hear any of the real song before we play the Seeker song?
Yeah, just for the vibe.
Yeah, just for the vibe.
Such a good intro.
He held his breath to hold your hand, to walk the steps and bends, climbing up a slippery slope.
Love this piano.
It is John.
Ain't that just a peach?
That's a honky bach.
Yeah.
I
also love that little after the second verse, that little bass riff. It gets its own little like boo doo.
Yeah, there is a really sexy bass guitar.
That is so Paul McCartney.
That's so Paul.
Yeah.
Having a little bass moment.
I think I'm just gonna put a little bit bass right after the second verse.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay. You do that. Yeah.
Ringo, you okay?
Yeah.
Ringo, you all right with that?
I got an octopus on my head.
Well done.
I could, Mal, can you get the octopus out off of Ringo's head, please?
I need one of the arms to drum with.
Yeah.
Hey, Moose.
Okay, Moose, now you do George.
Moose, do George.
I thought he was your grandfather.
That's not your grandfather.
Well, of course, this is my other one.
I've seen your grandfather. That's not your grandfather.
Well, everyone's got two, don't they? This is my other grandfather.
He's your grandfather. Ha! Can I tell a quick Beatles tangent, please?
Oh, please.
Have you guys seen Jungle Book with three vultures?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're supposed to be.
And they're, like, doing a Beatles thing. I knew, like, about that movie before I knew about the Beatles. So, like, sometimes whatever.
Wait, what is this?
Crazy?
What is this?
Huh?
What is this again?
So, there's three vultures in the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And they're all doing, they all have the Beatles haircuts for it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing a Beatles bit.
Yeah.
But, like, 5-year-old Zach didn't know who the Beatles were.
Yeah,
like,
right. So,
why are they like that?
It's for the parents.
I don't get it.
100% for the parents.
Now, when I hear Beatles impersonations, I think about the vultures first.
That kicks ass.
I can't do a Paul one except for like when he's like really old, you know.
That's really good.
A little more weathered.
That's kind of best though.
That's so good and specific.
For you.
That's like Paul, who's seen some shit. Who's been some places.
Totally.
So we wanted to play a little bit of the secret song at the end.
Yeah. It is
the
at 350.
The Roost.
Pretty well broadcasted secret, but.
Mm-hmm. So there's some like reverse things going on, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Missy Elliott.
He put his thing down and flipped it.
Yeah.
And reversed it.
It is really a nice piece. Like, I could do a whole record of soundscapes like this.
100%. Well, he's got another one right after this.
Yeah, he does.
Full of stuff like that. Yeah. From a Basement on a Hill has a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's a very almost like fever dreamish
ambient. Yeah.
But he wasn't, it was released
after he died. Yeah. So. This is the last record that I think he released when he was alive.
Yeah.
Cause he died in 2004.
2003.
Yeah. Wow, it's been 20 years. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Just before the iPhone 1.
No. Yeah.
I almost know, there. There's almost a, made it.
Yeah.
Shit.
There's couldn't get an iPod Touch. There's just one regret.
He never
one
got to play Doodle life. Jump. Yeah. Oh, boy. I would love to know, like, just to have him around, just to be like, I wonder what he would make of all of this.
Yeah.
You
know?
He'd give like, us a better perspective, I think.
I think yeah. so. Like, you know, and that, yeah. I just think he would have a really, and plus, he made great music. Like, I wish he was around to do that.
Yeah, he would have kept yeah. going for yeah. sure, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But now we just have stupidity trying to make music. Except stupidity for the people tries. In this room.
He wrote this song about TikTokers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seriously, though.
He wrote it about Florida Georgia Line.
He really
yes.
did.
Yeah.
No, I don't actually really know what this song is entirely about.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
Not to do like the genius.com of it, but I did see this take that I liked. Or maybe it was a quote. It was a quote. So this is straight from the font. Of Elliot Smith. I realize there's no real point to me doing what I'm doing, but if that was at the forefront of my mind, I would get nothing done and that would be really boring. So the whole like or part of the thinking behind this song is like it doesn't matter what the point is, like it's fun to do stuff. It's fun to try.
Yeah.
And it might be stupid, but it's better than not trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, work.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the painting never dries.
Yeah.
Stupidity tries. It's just, it's never finished.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's never a complete, stupidity tries but fails, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do really like the line. I'll read the whole verse. And so I go on from 4 to 4, looking for a part to call another drunk conquistador conquering the governor's wall. And I think that's fun to think about.
Yeah.
A drunk conquistador.
I think he's like, talking about himself there.
Yeah. I really think so.
Yeah, because he was this kind of, you know, this guy who was living on people's couches in Portland. And then within a few years, he's playing at the Academy Awards and, you know, he's all gussied up and being pushed
in the white suit with the dirty hair.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's now this like drunken conquistador going around the world, you know, conquering the governor's ball, which is, you know, like, yeah.
Right after that, he says, "The enemy is within. Don't confuse me with him."
Yeah. And the truth is otherwise. Oh, yeah.
That one gets me.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Because it's just like, I'm sure he had demons. Totally. Just like everyone, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Paul McCartney and everything except lyrics, this seems like such a Paul McCartney wrote, like,
I could
1969 1970 era song.
Yeah,
like if just like throwing the kitchen sink of chords at a song, because we used to cover this song.
Yeah.
Cool. The Scarves. Yeah. And
how many chord changes?
Oh my god. that section that we were just talking about does like two key center changes, like within the section. It like goes from like G major and then back to like,
I think I know,
C sharp minor. It's like, so
I think I have the timestamp if you want to hear it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like 130.
It's,
I think
it's such a bold way of writing. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I feel like he's like writing himself out of a hole right here. It's like, where do you go from here? Into this like new bridge. It's like, whoa. Yeah. Like, yeah.
He doesn't,
totally new section.
It doesn't like, he doesn't make that chord of the bridge sound like home, but it works really well still.
Yeah.
I mean, back into it. And so I go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
very
yeah. And the outro too is like one of those like I wish I could just have that part of the song forever,
just
like,
playing all the time when I'm walking around.
Yeah,
just...
it's like what it's like heartbreaking, but like so like full of joy at the same time. Like it balances these kind of like conflicting feelings and such a beautiful. Just play the part.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Talking about this, but yeah, it speaks for itself, you know. Yeah, there's a little guitar licks in there too. Oh man.
And the strings just really elevate it to where it's not just like the ending of this like rock song. It's just like
like huge
continuing
thing.
Feeling.
Like, and that's the thing, like the scope on this record is like so much wider. Like he's almost like shooting, like his earlier records are like 8mm films. This is now IMAX, like, you know, but he's got that like indie kind of cred. Like, and that's why it's so like, oh, it's so economical with like, the space that it uses, and that's another highlight on the album for me.
It's so like triumphant.
Yeah,
but in like an kind of anti-hero sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
I dig
this
it.
This drunken conquistador, you kind of root for him. Mm-hmm. You know?
He's like getting off the bus, like watching the sunrise, but he didn't mean to.
But this like world is also kind of like going through like a sea of trash.
Yeah.
Too. There's also this like kind of. This world is being put against him a little bit, so you're, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, it's like a story, I mean, a great songwriters, like, are great storytellers.
Totally.
At the end of the day, and, you know, he can make something that doesn't probably, like, it's not apparent what it means right away, but you can, you know that a story is being told.
Yeah. There's like four metaphors in this story. It's like this,
exactly.
This kind of emergent property that, like, he's not saying it, like, really out loud, but you know the vibe, like
but you
understand
feel it. You feel
if you know,
it.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure this one, like, I'm sure he had a lot of imposter syndrome.
Oh,
because
totally.
like he like even like after the Academy Awards, he said like it was kind of like being on the moon. Mm. It's like it was cool to be there and to see people that you know he's only seen on television and to be part of that world for 2 minutes while he did his song on the stage. But he didn't know or he didn't believe in himself that he could like live in that world and. This is what he was thrust into when he mm-hmm. when he moved and being a part of that echelon of status and you know trying to do mama proud.
Speaking of,
that's not the next one.
Next one is Easy Way Out.
God, that would have been so sick.
It was on the forefront of my mind.
Clean take.
Which all my transitions I had for this one, I wasn't going to do. I was like, fuck. the harmonies on this one are so choice.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And the guitar tuning, too, is like really... It's like in drop,
that low
C sharp or something like that.
It's an E, so it's just probably in the standard.
Oh, never mind.
You can usually like feel like it feels like a Bon Iver tune anytime it's open. You know,
Did you say Bon Iver.
I know he didn't invent that. Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Thank you. He's from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He's from fucking Eau Claire.
Show some respect.
I'm just kidding.
Are you from the Midwest? Are you rich
kinda,
from the Midwest?
Yeah, Missouri.
Okay.
That counts.
Know your roots, man.
Thanks.
I feel inspired. That was a good podcast. All right,
good.
We
can move on
hope.
From this.
I can say hope. I can say hope, good set.
You can say hope.
Yes.
Good set,
right? You can say, I'm just going to scooch right past you right there. You can say that.
Thanks, guys. I really needed this talk.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah. Don't ever forget.
Don't have imposter syndrome about being Midwest.
Yeah.
Oposter.
Oposter.
Stupid. Stupid.
Say it to the mic one more time so they hear you.
Don't have oposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome? Is that better?
Syndrome.
I like oposter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we
Thank
can
you.
Run with that.
Hey,
yeah.
that's workshopping.
Imposter scoot pastia syndrome? No.
No.
We're moving on now.
Plot.
We don't need to put a hat on.
We're
done
with that.
Yeah.
Can we hear 110 for the harmonies?
You sure can.
Yeah.
Easy Way Out.
Yep.
Yeah.
All about taking the easy way out for you.
one might be my favorite. I think the cello does it for me.
Oh, I've never even heard that background.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so subtle, but it...
I didn't know I was still playing it. No, that's great. That's great. That's great.
Let him cook.
That's a compliment. Yeah, let him cook.
Wouldn't mama be proud?
Wouldn't mama be proud?
And would you like to know? I don't know. That felt confrontational. Hey, I apologize.
Would mama be proud?
I don't know. Peg, are you proud?
I hope so.
Oh, is that your mom's
name? I think so, yeah. Peg.
Round the horn. Mom names.
Peg.
Jenny.
Lorelai.
Lorelai.
Yeah.
Yeah, your mom has a cool name.
You got good mom names.
Yeah.
Wait, what's yours?
Jody.
Jody. Nice.
Jody Lynn is
how is that spelled? Is it
Jodie? Thank you for asking.
That's the way I would do it, too.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, classic
it's
Jody.
The right way,
yeah,
I think, maybe.
Yeah.
How else would you do it? Like Joe-D-E-E?
Like a character in Dune.
She gets Jody.
Listen, Gaib.
She'll get like...
Listen, Jody.
That'd be a good drag king name. Yeah, Jody. That would be good,
yeah.
No, she's never gotten that on her like Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
Can we play the start of this one? Yeah. And this one kind of curveballed me because the rhythm, and maybe you can enlighten me, is it close to a samba rhythm?
Oh, let's listen and dissect.
I don't... The
question... Like in the first 2 seconds, I'm ready for like a...
Yeah, I can probably see that. With like the first two beats, first you probably beats, expect
I'm like
it to
ready
be...
for him to have a little Latin influence, but then it's not there at all.
No, it's not. No, I can hear that.
I feel like I feel like it's straight, but the way he phrases his words, it makes it feel like it's
the syncopation is like very bossa nova.
Yeah.
Of the great, the tender.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So there is samba influence. But it's in the...
I don't know if that's like a conscious thing that he was thinking about, but
like, why am I feeling this but not hearing it?
That's a great analytical.
Why do I want to?
Why do I want little clavicas?
Why am I wearing a headdress full of fruit? What the heck is
now
going on?
I want to see that. I want to see that.
Oh, how did we get here?
Why is my name Rosalito?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why am I on a playlist with Girl from Ipanema? I don't know. I said that name Ray wrong.
I was going to say, we should record a Bossa Nova album with all the names a little bit wrong.
Oh, that'd be good.
Girl from Ipanema.
I would love that.
And other Bossa Nova songs.
Desa Flipato. Yeah. I got plenty of them.
Come soar with me.
Yeah. Aguas de Marcho.
Yeah.
My Bossa Nova skills are lacking. I don't know any other female named Bossa Nova dudes.
I have a playlist of Bossa Nova songs that I like and listen to because I put it on when I'm stressed out on the train and it really calms me down. So I could like hear these songs and like know the melody like boom, but ask me the name of it, ask me the artist, gun to my head, couldn't tell you.
The first record I ever got was a Bossa Nova. It was only organ Bossa Nova.
That kicks ass.
So I pulled out my mom's old record player from like the 80s and when I was a kid. And I set it up, or my cousin helped me set it up, and he gave me my first record, and it was just like, it had, I remember, I can see it now, I think it was called Rainforest, and it had a green background, and like maybe like a toucan and some trees, and it was only Bossa Nova organ music, and my mom, I would like play it really loud in my room. Because I was a freak, and she would yell at me because she's like, "It's making me sick."
Oh no!
Like, turn it off. And I was like, I love this. This is so cool. I was probably like 12.
Can we go
something.
A little deeper? Can we play some of it?
I'm trying to find.
Yeah, Rainforest
by Walter Wanderley.
Maybe does it?
It's got a toucan on it.
Oh, yes. That's it.
Let's see if this.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm adding this.
I'm imagining this on like a warm record player. This sounds so good. I
was blasting. So I sounded like a demented elevator.
Yeah.
Probably from outside of my house, you could probably hear it.
Braden was studying his whole life to be an elevator operator.
This is excellent hold music.
This is great.
Yeah. I thank you for finding this. That unlocked a memory for me. I'm going to go add this to my...
Oh my God, the girl from Ipanema is on here.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like a bunch of like standards.
This is awesome.
I love this. I've been this on a playlist.
It almost has like kind of like that Wii, like the Nintendo Wii to it.
Or like I want the Koombas from from Mario to do like a little like bop bop to it.
Yes.
Yeah. I also kind of liked it because it reminded me a lot of I can't even think of their name. Clean take.
I did save this. Hey, go stream Rainforest by Walter Wanderley.
Yeah, that's great.
Get those numbers up. That's
awesome. We
should awesome.
Have more samba tangents in our podcast.
Hey guys, have a bossa nova summer. Like I had a bossa nova / city pop summer last summer.
Oh, city pop
cannot
is that's
recommend
great,
enough.
Yeah.
Cannot recommend
love
enough.
Love that. Yeah.
Put it on in the shower. Ugh.
Love some city pop.
Love it.
So is this track about like color bars, like bars of color, or like bars that are different colors?
This is the one that perplexes me the most, I think.
Yeah.
It's the CRTV when you don't have like a input in or the cable's not working. It does the red, like the flashes. Yeah, I see color
like,
bars.
I thought he was talking about like colorful bars, like a TGI Fridays. You know.
What?
No.
Is that what comes to your mind when you think of a bar?
No, that's what comes to your mind when you think of a colorful bar? I can think of one color associated with TGI Fridays.
A colorful
Fridays.
Bar, like Olive Garden. That one's green.
Elliot also like remarks about like some television like esque kind of visuals with like blue screen, I think on what's that track? Clean take.
The track.
there is a cool connection there. I just watched this documentary about the 90s, and it's like talking about just like how many more TV stations came into existence in the 90s and how like more common like camcorders were and everything.
Yeah.
So I bet he was a product of that, right? Of this culture that is now looking at a screen, a TV screen particularly, more than the generation right before him.
Yeah.
That probably wasn't that insightful.
No.
No, but it's such a...
This one's a hard one.
It is. It's hard to crack.
I enjoy it.
I enjoy it too. I like the imagery. Like it feels like him like scrolling through TV channels. And just writing about what he's seeing, like the sergeant broke the key off every lock, and it's like, oh, I think sounds like he's like watching something.
He's watching Cops
or something. Yeah,
I would be watching Cops.
Yeah,
I like the ascending piano line. Ding, 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 ding,
it's cool. Yeah,
transitions. So
yeah,
I could see the flipping channels. Maybe
that would be a fun writing exercise if you're like bored and uninspired.
But what I think separates like him from other songwriters who would be like, oh, I'm going to write like each verse is going to be a different channel. But like he starts a song as like the TV's not working.
Right.
Like I see color bars, and like even if you don't know what that means, it's just an interesting like turn of phrase, like color bars. Like that's kind of a cool word, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It definitely
works on a couple levels.
Piqued my interest when I was like, what does this mean? I didn't even think about TV screen until you guys said it.
Yeah.
I liked the next song, Happiness / The Gondola Man.
Oh, yeah.
For a couple reasons. I liked the lyrics in the happiness portion. Mm-hmm. And I liked sort of the world painting in the latter part. This Venetian canal ride. Gondola.
I forgot that gondolas were also like the boat, but I was thinking of like the bus that takes you up the mountain is also called a gondola.
Sure.
But you probably meant the first one.
Well, yeah.
Feels a little more romantic.
Yeah.
And also and like skiing. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I've never been skiing.
I was thinking about Avanti's.
Avanti's.
Avanti's is a restaurant chain.
Oh.
And they have a sub sandwich that's like, that's very long, and they call it a gondola.
Oh, hell yeah.
I used to work there. I know. Worked there for 2 years.
Ooh. Love it. What's the best thing on the menu?
Gondola.
The gondola.
And the pizza's pretty
good,
too.
Which is funny, because that's like...
You don't say it like that.
You don't. Yeah, you don't walk in, you say, can I get a gondola?
It's gondola. Like,
yeah, it's
can
gondola.
I get a gondola?
Is it the I know. Pronunciation? It's like what Midwesterners think Italian food is.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
But great in a
bread.
Way,
great it, bread.
They have great bread.
Hell yeah.
And it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Of
they,
course.
It was a clean restaurant. They'd like.
Could be like Fazoli's or something.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
although,
my God. They
I fuck with Fazoli's.
they have, you know.
I would go ham on those breadsticks.
There's a competing chain in Bloomington called La Gondola.
Yeah, which they suck. It's a drive-thru.
Nah.
They suck. No, La Gondola sucks.
Drive-thru Italian is
no,
kind of.
I know. There's like a, there's some
a
beef.
Sexy idea to me.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, La Gondola is mid.
I think it's fine. I'd rather have
Avanti's
it over,
is,
but Avanti's is better.
Avanti's is way better.
Yeah.
Are we on the record? Yeah, we're on the record.
We're on the record for that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Our central Illinoisans will know what we're talking about.
Uh-huh, And the real central Illinoisans will know that the Peoria Avanti's is different from the Bloomington normal ones. Yeah. Because
is it like different management?
Yeah. It's the, there's like two brothers that own it or whatever. And
I got to go with Bloomington normal on this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. The Peoria ones are not good.
There's the Shark Avanti's and the Jets.
Yeah.
And they meet up.
We meet up every month to have a...
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way.
A giant
when
bonfire.
When you make a sandwich.
Yeah.
Mayo.
Bam.
Mustard. Shark.
Yeah.
Oregano.
Your cat is looking at me like I'm deranged.
She's used to it.
He's yelling about mustard over here.
All right. Anything else about Happiness? I know we didn't even talk about it.
It's a great
one
song.
It's one of the standout ones for me on this album. It's just
Activities killing
so
the actor.
Yeah.
So hopeful and which again is not, you don't always get that with Elliott Smith.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a very special one.
Yeah, totally.
All I want now is happiness for you and me. Yeah.
Right.
It's nice. That's like a very Beatles-y thing. Like all you need is love kind of.
It's very adult.
Universal.
It's very just adult. Just like.
Like a more mature version of that
like
song.
Like bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
I don't really care what happened, but I just want us to just be happy.
Let's just vibe.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
It's an interesting placement of this one, because then we go right into Pretty Mary Kay.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. What a song. God.
I went down like a rabbit hole with this one, strictly because I used to do copywriting. Do you know what I'm about
to
say?
You used to do ketamine?
No! Different.
Different.
That's
copywriting, yes.
Copywriting. Because I would see... I felt very Pepe Sylvia in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I got boxes of Pepe. Pepe Sylvia. Pretty Mary Kay. Pretty Mary K-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty Mary, just the letter K, like potassium.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw it originally, when I was writing out the track list, which I think I pulled the track list from like Wikipedia originally. It was just Pretty Mary K, the letter K.
Mm-hmm.
And then I... was like, haha, it would be funny if this song was Pretty Mary K-A-Y and it was about a multi-level marketing company that sold cosmetics.
Yeah, that's
Mary K. But then I went on Spotify and I saw that it was spelled out K-A-Y on Spotify. And I just kept like Googling versions of the album and being like, what's it like on this vinyl pressing? And what's it like on Amazon? And what's it like here and there? And I ended up dead ass going to the I had smoked a little weed first and I went on the Elliott Smith subreddit and I posed the question. I said what is the difference, is there a difference that these spellings denote in like song versions? And someone did respond and they said basically that like K-A-Y is just like the final most recent version of the song and there's not that big of a difference, but you say K-A-Y when it's like the final. So if I'm wrong, blame it on Reddit user Eggs Benedict the Cat. And I will throw them under the bus. But also thanks for responding to me.
Eggs, your days are fucking numbered,
okay,
man.
Either or, Elliot Smith reference. Either or, I think that the best version is the alternate version. 100%.
It's the alternate version K-A-Y or the letter K?
It's, I think it's just K.
Okay.
But it's the spookier version. It's on the deluxe version.
I was going to say, but there isn't there one on New Moon as well, a different Pretty Mary Kay?
Yeah, but I think it's the same one.
Oh, is
that's
it?
That's on the deluxe version. Mind. So yeah. I think they just borrowed it from the New Moon.
We've got boxes full of Pretty Mary Kay.
Man, we got
what do I find so out? Much. Robbie, what do I find out? There is no Pretty Mary Kay in New Moon. Not only do all of these songs exist, they've been asking to be played on a weekly basis. God damn it, Charlie.
Oh, thank God.
There's a tangent.
Yes. So that's the rabbit hole. That was me after smoking a little bit of weed.
One note I like about this song is every time that Pretty Mary Kay comes around, like in the song, like lyrically, the chord that like he resolves to is always different. Like it never resolves to like quote unquote correctly, or like it never like
goes back to tonic.
Never goes back to tonic until the very last one of the album, like, or not the, of the song.
Yeah.
Which I think is such a neat songwriting tactic of like, again, like he does it throughout his like songs where he just won't give you that like really comfortable way.
He's got to
like,
throw you a deceptive cadence here.
Or like he'll go to a minor chord instead, and it like is totally like, if you're, you know, when I'm listening to it, I'm always like blown away by that. It's just very like interesting and bold way of writing, you know. It's a good song.
A little saucy.
Keeps you on your toes.
Totally.
This is also kind of a Beatles one.
Yes.
Very much the like harmonies Lucy too. In the Sky about LSD, this one about ketamine.
Yeah.
Plausibly.
Knowing Elliot, that's possible.
But the spooky version, I gotta say.
The spooky version, yeah.
I gotta listen to that
one. Hear it. Can we play the spooky version?
Sure.
Yeah.
You said it's on the deluxe version?
Yeah. Digging back to time. Yeah, it's just Pretty Mary
Kay.
Is
it time to talk about the deluxe version? Or should we wait till the end?
Let's wait till we get through the regular degular.
But this won't be the regular degular.
This is the regular degular.
This will be the alternate blartonate.
Okay, let me just...
Awful. Oh, man. Probably get away with the New Moon.
It is on New Moon.
Yeah.
And it's not on the deluxe version on Spotify.
Well,
I lied, it is. I read wrong. I read wrong.
Don't test me. Walks along the
dark. Ooh, I like the vocals on this one. With some sales pain.
Shut just love the guitar playing.
Pretty Mary Kay, with some little boy in blue.
Yeah, I like this better.
You can't stay away from you. Pretty Mary Kay.
That's so nice.
So good.
So good.
It's so good.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
That's quite good.
Mm-hmm. What if this next song, Better Be Quiet Now, was just a silent track?
Well done. Well done.
He would have trolled me.
I'd be waiting for 3 minutes and 35 seconds.
You guys are entertaining that. They're like, they said I have to yes and, even if Zach says stupid shit.
This one hurt me on a very personal level.
Speaking of that.
It's about a breakup, yes?
It could have been.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know.
Perhaps.
Tell me why.
I don't know. It just really resonated with me, and I just was so sad when I heard it. I remained so sad, and it just felt really good.
Mm-hmm. It's so vulnerable. Like the line, like maybe I have a problem. Like it's such a direct line. Like it's so.
And just having like, I better be quiet now. It's just like, obviously I can't do anything right. It's just like,
Yeah, lots of resignation. Lots of like, well, all right, okay. I guess I'll just fuck off. So go. But spoken more eloquently.
Be quiet now and I won't make a sound.
Yeah.
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 It is a sleepy song for track number 14 of a very long album.
Yeah. And then yeah. the next song can't make a sound too. Like is in that same world too.
Mix it
like,
up a little bit.
Yeah, uh-huh. A little bit. But I think it's like an extension of the same kind of theme. Oh. Yeah.
You know? I think they're kind of like two songs in one. Yeah.
I call that great programming.
Song,
yeah.
Like, yeah, totally. Yeah,
programming, uh-huh. Yeah. It's a lost art.
The like titles of the last three songs on the regular version of this album.
Yeah.
Better Be Quiet Now, Can't Make a Sound, and Bye.
Yeah.
Feel like a triptych to me of sorts. Yeah. Where you're kind of Homer Simpson quietly disappearing into the bush. Yeah. It just sort of feels like this prolonging like gradient of leaving the album.
Like some songs have a runway into like
yeah,
the album where yeah. like yeah. you know they give you all this momentum into like track number four. Mm-hmm. Right. This one is kind of like a landing.
Yeah. Totally.
That's nice. Totally. I like it better now.
Lets you down so slow, and it tucks you in, and it gives you like a cup of water in case you get thirsty.
Yeah,
and it puts on your rain sensors.
And a little bag of peanuts,
and I it like turns it. On your humidifier. Like it really.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I want this song around.
You in. Yeah.
And it puts on your Breathe Right strip, and it closes the door, and it checks under your bed for monsters.
Whoa!
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That does get a lot.
Into it.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about Can't Make a Sound? Do we have anything to...
The hero
killed the clown. Why would you want any other when you're a world within a world? Which I think is a line about just writing music. Because music, it like Stevie Wonder said, music is a world within itself. Mm-hmm. And I think... I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's like reflecting on his role as a songwriter and like making these kind of worlds within themselves. And why would you want to do anything else? You know? Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great I way like to that. End your last record.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Because this is the last song where he's saying something with words.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the regular edition.
On the regular edition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Caveat.
The first line is like so emo though. I have become a silent movie. Like
I have become a silent movie.
Well, like oh,
I can see
man.
The eyeliner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He also it's funny that you say that because he mentions Man in the Moon like so many times throughout his music, and it's another, you know, just example of him like recycling words and phrases, but he talks about Man in the Moon all the time, which is like one of the most famous like silent movies. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
I think maybe he had a phase
uh-huh.
of silent movie watching. Yeah. He watched a lot of Chaplin.
You know what I say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Valid.
Or if it ain't broke, reuse it.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, you think about like people talk about when you're making like an economic decision, like what's your cost per use or your cost per wear, so on and so forth. So the cost per wear for his lyrics is economical in some ways. Mm-hmm. Man on the Moon being one of those that ain't broke.
Who doesn't love thrifting?
Exactly. You know? Thank you.
Reduce, reuse, Rihanna.
Yeah.
Very so that.
True.
Very, very. Okay. Well, let's talk about the last song on the regular version of this album, which I giggled when I saw that the title of the last song was just Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
And then I giggled harder when I found out it was just an instrumental. Uh-huh. I was like, that's awesome.
Do you think he like had this vision from the get-go to write Bye as the last song, or he just had like an hour of studio time he already paid for?
No.
He
definitely laid it down. They're like, Elliot, what's this one called? And he's, you know, Bob Dylan did that a lot too, where they'd be like, Bob, what is this called? Rainy Day 12 and
Positively
35.
Positively 4th Street.
It's like, what the fuck what are you talking about? So I'm sure it was after a long day and he was just like, bye. Yeah.
Bye.
This will be the last one.
It fits in the same vein as like the Roost, the Gondola Man of these like smaller kind of like vignettes of like little music. And and all you really need is the title. You understand that the record's over. This is him kind of like what you like the Homer Simpson kind of slowly fading into the bushes. Like that's what I kind of see.
Yeah, this is very like vaudeville, so it makes sense. It's like Hollywood,
Bye.
LA.
Yeah.
Bye.
Pretty simple.
Peace.
Sweet. Yeah. But now we get into the deluxe version. Yeah. Oh my God! There's sounds
there,
on that.
That's been there the whole time.
Are you?
It's the red one. If you ever want it.
What are the other buttons?
Touch that red button.
Deluxe.
I like this one a lot. Hey, go yourself.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yes. Yeah.
I like this one as well. Doesn't it sound so great?
It makes everyone shut up.
Why doesn't it work?
Right.
That's a lesson
I like to call delayed gratification.
Yeah.
We can't always have what we want right away.
So true.
And I love being patient. Uh-huh. I think the last... Oh, we have two that we haven't heard yet.
Well, that's like a good like intro.
Yeah.
You
know? That one was in Whiplash.
Yep. We don't talk about Whiplash.
We don't talk about Whiplash.
It's been repressed. Yeah.
I'll never watch that movie again.
No.
Music students.
Does it make
understand.
You feel like this?
Why is there only like
that?
Three
sounds
heartbeats?
Like shit.
There should be more heartbeats.
That person should go to the hospital immediately.
we'll fix it in
something,
post.
There, you've got like three you've ventricles like that are not working.
So we got three bonus tracks to touch on real
quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deluxe.
All covers? Mostly covers.
There's Figure Eight, which is
Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock, which I used to watch growing up.
Yeah.
I think that's such a really cool, and it's kind of a shame because the album name mm-hmm. comes from that too. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, man, I wish mm-hmm. that could have made the album, but really done in such a spooky way. It's a really kind of bone chilling song. Yeah, the way he does it.
It almost belongs on XO though. It's very XO.
Yeah, I could see that too. Yeah, it kind of stripped back and like a sunken cathedral.
Yeah, which is such a eerie thing for a children's tune.
Yeah.
I'm sure he got a lot of pleasure out of that, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
Just a peek into my dark and twisted mind.
Yeah.
This is a dark, fucked up version of Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, that like tremolo on the piano is very XO.
I think it's like a Leslie speaker.
Oh, yeah. Almost like Tim Burton.
It's very short. It's a minute and a half.
Figure eight is double four.
Oh, man.
Figure four is half of eight. If you skate, you would be great. If you could make a figure eight, that's a circle that turns round upon itself.
It's a spooky song.
Yeah, I like it though.
Piano part is so good. It mm-hmm. makes you feel like you're doing a figure eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Very, silent snowfall. Ooh, in the dark. Ooh.
So, is that our first bonus track? Like,
it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we get Because.
Or then we get A Living Will.
Living Will, which is an original.
Me, I think we both agree that this is possibly his most like earworm song, or at least for us.
It's so good. It is, I don't understand how it's not on this album.
It is one of those like the hook is like unbelievably good.
Really?
We gotta play it just a little bit. I mean, it's like so addictive. Yeah.
I did not dig into the deluxe versions. This is very exciting.
Time to kill another living will.
Man on the Moon.
Yep.
Says it a lot. And Shooting Star. He says Shooting Star a lot.
Right here. Oh, he doesn't really go there in a lot of the record.
And then the harmonies. That's
so Beatlesy.
We don't get that head voice a lot.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man.
This is so much more my speed. That's a lot.
It just like would have been like so good with LA, I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of other songs on this album.
It lives in that world for sure.
It so does.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I made you the deluxe version.
Yeah, me too.
Because it deserved a place somewhere.
Yeah.
Rather than just in the ethos of Elliot's unfinished or just kind of orphaned songs.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. I know there's a couple of like acoustic versions of some of the songs on the record, with the Pretty Mary Kay being one of them.
Yeah.
The two other highlights like for me is Can't Answer You Anymore, which is like the most like Baroque pop, like hit, like full tilt, like 1967 era Beatles as much as he possibly could. Like it's another incredible song. And then of course the cover of Because, which is the Beatles song. Yeah. Yeah, even on his B-sides, he was, like, absolute fire.
He was hitting for the fences.
Because
is, like, one of the most, like, truest covers of that song.
Yeah.
And I think it was even on, what's the movie?
American Beauty.
Yeah, American Beauty.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, plays, I think, during the credits of that
song. Yeah, at the very end. Yeah.
The Elliott Smith version does?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Work!
It's so good. Uh-huh. So true to the song, and he does all the harmonies just beautifully.
Which is, like... Yeah. Such a bold move to do a Beatles cover anywhere.
Yeah.
Because, like,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, It's like, have you remember that, what's that guy's name who's the big, Jack Antonoff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's, I don't know.
Did he cover the Beatles?
He covered A Hard Day's Night. Do you know what I'm talking about? The bus.
Not on the bus.
They're on
no,
the bus.
F that.
And it's,
I hate
it
that
is,
crap.
Actually, that would be the torture song.
Yes.
That
I revised mine too.
It's Jack Antonoff. And I think it's not the Bleachers, but it's like some band of LA people that
watch
like
it and you will have nightmares.
Got together.
Oh, no.
It's like the most, I appreciate his version because it makes me love the original version so much.
Uh-huh.
And like it's like the most lifeless cover ever made. He's like just kind of I don't even know how to describe
soulless.
His singing. Yes, it's soulless is like totally like just zero sauce, as the kids say. Just hot days, night working like it's like he's like a sick Bob Dylan. You know? Like, it's like and it's like
he
the
wishes.
Worst. Oh man, it's really bad. It's so bad. Yeah,
we should do some like upside down episodes where we get bands on to talk about albums they hate.
That would be a really fun bonus episode.
Albums that you hate.
Oh my God,
Zach, that's albums that I hate.
We've been talking about music
song.
We love for 4 years.
Right?
I don't know.
Dark
if I've
album reviews. Album reviews: colon dark mode.
And, but instead of brews, you drink like Red Bull or like something very unpleasant.
Yeah.
We
just drink hot sauce.
Run bad medicine.
We
just drink medicine. We don't want to
take Benadryl. We put a bunch of Benadryl in a carrot, like when you give it to a horse.
Yeah.
And just over the course of
the episode. That's awful. Do people do that to horses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because horses can take a lot of Benadryl because they're very large. No.
What?
It's like,
is that
you have
common
to give
knowledge?
Benadryl to a horse.
At least I learned something.
Google it.
I didn't know that.
I saw it was like a Vine or a TikTok or something. It was like someone giving a carrot that was sliced open like hot dog style to a horse, and it had a bunch of Benadryl stuck in it. And they were like,
I don't know why, but I'm just picturing a horse just doing a gigantic line of Benadryl.
They were like giving them this Benadryl carrot, and they were like, "Here's this super normal carrot," and the horse is like, "Nom, nom, nom, this Benadryl."
Was the horse like tweaking later, or just like
I thought the horse was chilling out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Horses are so large.
Yeah. That's like a lot of people like using Benadryl for some reason to get their sick kicks from.
To see the Hat Man.
Yeah.
Babadook.
Yeah.
I take half a Benadryl and I'm like, am I going to see the Hat Man?
I'm
so paranoid about
it. With allergy medicine.
Yeah. With Benadryl, especially.
Yes.
I am.
Yeah.
It's very, very bad.
Very bad. Yeah. So actually, maybe I shouldn't have a Benadryl. I could have a baby carrot with half a Benadryl in it, and I'd be gone.
I think that's called microdosing.
So with that, we're all going to take some Benadryl, and we're going to come back with the Rebrewski for you. So give us a few moments.
This podcast brought to you by Benadryl Nighttime.
Okay, I guess we're here to bestow to Figure Eight by Elliot Smith, the best find in the Lost and Found record of the year. Thank you. I'm not sure who the other nominees are.
But we don't care.
We don't care.
Doesn't matter.
That's what my envelope says here. Is I'm just reading what's been written. So.
Well, congratulations, yeah. Elliot Smith. This is a huge,
huge album
achievement.
Five bags of popcorn. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I rate it.
I would not eat popcorn out of the Lost and Found. I thought that's where you're going.
Yeah, no. It would be a little stale.
Yeah. Popcorn's supposed to be green?
I don't know. It was just St. Patrick's Day. Thank you so much for listening to, in fact, another riveting episode of Album Rebrews. This is coming out on my birthday, so if you made it this long into the episode, why don't you give me a little birthday present and go rate us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts? Aw, that would be so sweet.
Tell her happy birthday in our iTunes.
I was wondering if we should sing it, but is that a step too far?
No, we'll have Cameron pit it at the end.
No, okay.
But don't we have to pay someone a royalty if we sing it? Yeah.
Oh,
is that public domain? Or
pretty sure Michael Jackson owns that.
We'll do the chromatic.
A royalty free,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
That's monochromatic.
Isn't that what you said?
No, chromatic. You just go up one note at a time.
Oh, I thought you said
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sarah. Happy birthday to you.
That was lovely.
I sang it to myself.
Zero copyright.
Zero copyright.
We'll fix it in post.
Thanks, Cam. We have been Album Rebrews, another year older, another year wiser. If you want to check out our Instagram or Twitter, how about both? It's at Album Rebrews. If you want to take a look at our website, which does, in fact, have a submission form if you want to be on the show, it is www.albumrebrews.com. Thanks. Love ya.
Another big thanks to our editor and singer-songwriter extraordinaire, Cameron Bopp.
Yay!
Thank you, Cameron.
Go follow him on Evil Twitter, or whatever it's called now.
I like Evil Twitter. There should be more evil apps, I think.
Thank you. I've always said that.
At Cam Bopp, CamBopp. He's a PP boy. Another huge thank you to you guys from the Red Scarves. If you are at home on the internet, I know you are. Go check them out on Instagram at The Red Scarves. Go listen to their music. They've got a single called Alice that is just as earwormy as our sweet, sweet boy, Elliot Smith. It's a great tune. You should go listen to it. It is coming up on their new record, Nice Try. A great record name. Is it a nice try?
We did our best, you know?
We really tried.
And that was the whole, the whole thought behind
Gave
that.
Gave it a nice try.
That's great. That record is coming out on April 26th and is also coinciding with a Sleeping Village release show. Is that true?
That is true.
That sounds amazing. That is with Jessica Risker and Mooner, another great band name we like a lot. go do all those things. Go support these guys. Anything you guys want to say before we get on out of here?
No, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Shout out
Appreciate
to Atha and Ryan, who couldn't be here, our bandmates. We love them. And thank you for everyone to listen to this, and Elliot Smith and the Red Scarves. So,
well,
much appreciated.
Before we go, this is the very last thing we'll do, and I'm so glad you asked earlier if you could do a little bit of ASMR into the microphone, because we do, in fact, at the end of every episode, say a very sweet and tender ASMR-style goodbye in the same order that we introduced ourselves. So I'll begin. Goodbye.